A game described by one turn-of-the-century critic as crude and barbaric, with little chance of survival. But survive it did.
Welcome to the Gridiron Crew podcast, the American football podcast made in Scotland by NFL lovers. My name is Keith McGinty and you are watching the News Crew. We have another full week of news for you to round up tonight on the News Crew. And to do so, I am joined by some of the finest crew members that are available at this time on a Thursday night. It's first up, we've got Big Chief Studs. Studs, how are we, bud?
Yeah, no bad, mate, no bad. I'm not quite sure how to take the way you said that there. So who was available? Makes us sound like the last choice.
Not at all. Your first name in my team sheet when it comes to the News Crew, you know that. You're the only one that actually responds and can make it most weeks. We're dropping like flies now, but we'll be back bigger and better and stronger as the draft approaches and the off-season unwinds a bit. We'll get lots of special guests on for everybody to keep them entertained and amused. We're also joined by Packers fan Liam. Liam, how are we, bud?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yeah, all good. Looking forward to chatting all, a wee bit of ball again. It's been a wee while since I've been on, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's good to get you back on. Really interested to hear your insight and some of the things that have been happening with the Packers over the off-season. There's some big news, of course, released today. I think everybody had heard about it before, but they were releasing the images, the titles and all that go with it as well. So looking forward to talking a wee bit of Packers with you a wee bit later on. However, first of all, guys, there's some sad news today that former NFL great O.J. Simpson, a man renowned for evading tackles and other things, sadly passed away. I think he had a bout of cancer. So very, very sad to hear that. Sad way to go. But he's passed away, the great OJ. I'll be honest, I didn't know much about him as a player. I remember him most fondly from the Naked Gun movies. There's the scene, of course, where he's on the wheelchair and he just butters down the stairs and goes flying, tumbling off at the end. That's where I remember him from mostly. So that kind of leads us into our kickoff question, our opening question, one that I'm just posting on X just now. If you'd like to get involved, you can send us in your answers, your suggestions for this. So what is your favourite cameos by former NFL stars? So really it could be anything. It could be TV shows, it could be movies, it could be quite a lot of wrestlers have been former NFL stars as well. So what are some of your favourites? Liam, I'm going to come to you first. What's some of the ones that stand out to you then?
I think the one that's kind of stood out for me is Carol Weathers. Obviously, one for obviously is Rocky onslaughts. But also, I'm also a big fan of the Star Wars franchises. So when he was in the Mandalorian as well, it was nice to see. So yeah, I would have to go with him. He always seemed like a cool character. Obviously, sadly passed away as well this year as well. So, but yeah, so.
He did. Quite a morbid start to the podcast, Liam. Thanks for that.
the legendary Predator as well.
So he was.
He's the one that
he's the one that the two arms locking with that famous meme comes from. The big guns in the guy there. I loved him in Mandalorian as well. It was a nice wee arc that his character had. You thought it was going to turn, he was going to do a wee bit nasty on him, but it came good in the end. It was a nice fitting way for him to go out, to be welcomed into the Star Wars fan club as well.
Studs, what about you? I can't believe we forgot about Carol Weathers' most famous role. Happy Gilmore, I mean, come on.
Happy Gilmore.
So it's all in the hips. So maybe the infamous alligator finally got him, to be fair.
Oh, that's terrific.
For me, the one that really sprung out first and foremost, again, Liam obviously mentioned Carol Weathers. So growing up kind of in the 90s, you've seen a lot of Carol Weathers, but one of the ones that jumped straight in, it's another Arnold Schwarzenegger film, is, and Brian will love this, the ex-Browns running back Jim Brown and Running Man with the big flame. The character name escapes me, but I'm sure he's got the flamethrowers in that one. And
I think it was Fireball.
So I remember Jim Brown for that one, and again, he's got quite a, similar to Carol Weathers, he's got quite a career arc in the movies when he retired for the NFL, and Any Given Sunday was one of the kind of more recent, I'll say recent, that's kind of early 2000s for the next days. So Jim Brown was the jump out for me.
We mentioned that off air when we were talking through this one, some of the other names that we talked about was Terry Crews. I didn't realize Terry Crews had played it. The guy's built, the guy's physique's ridiculous, and of course, best known for what was America's Got Talent. He stands at the side, he's the Ant and Dec. I loved him in Brooklyn 99. I thought his big Terry and that, he was the guy was just superb. Absolutely fantastic. We had quite a few former NFL stars have joined the wrestling though as well. Yeah. We had WrestleMania at the weekend. I don't know if you stayed up to watch some of that, guys. It was a wee bit too late for me. I got about halfway through both nights and then had to call it quits. But from what I've seen of the highlights, it was absolutely brilliant. My oldest, he stayed up to watch it both nights. Crashed early in the first night, but made it all the way through to the second night and woke up the house. Nice. We jumped my about and screaming at it. It was terrific.
So he was so Roman Reigns, of course. A Cody cry, maybe desperate for him to finish the story.
Oh yeah, well, that was one of the first characters that one of the first wrestling figures he got was Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. So for Junior there to go and complete the story, there was it was a special moment for him. So he was chuffed to bits with that. Roman Reigns, of course, former player. He was with, I know Stu mentions this all the time, he was with the Edmonton Oilers, is it?
No, that's ice hockey.
Edmonton Eskimos?
Eskimos, I think it was something that indigenous. That may be a bit racist.
So he played in the CFL for a wee bit. Don't tell me he played for the 49ers too, but that might be what the wee man was saying, but he's a 49ers fan and I think he wants everybody to have played for them. Who were some of the other former NFL American football stars that played took part in the wrestling?
Bill Goldberg's the kind of obvious one. He played with the Atlanta Falcons, I think, is where he was best known. But one of the film ones actually has just come into my head as well. Ace Ventura, the legendary Dan Marino cameo. Also cameos in Bad Boys, I think he cameos in as well. And Will Smith takes a car off him when he's at a test drive.
So he does. Clever man. Plus the dolphin from the Dolphins, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Very good. So get in your suggestions for your favourite cameos or transition from the NFL into the silver screen and big screen. Okay, moving on then, guys. Let's get into the news because we've got a fair bit of news to go over. Next week, we're going to really dive and delve into the draft. We are all amateur enthusiasts when it comes to the draft and looking ahead to the forthcoming picks that are going to be done. Have you guys started your mock draft yet for the Dynasty Leagues?
Not as yet, no. Need to get going with that at some point soon.
See, I've done a couple, right? But what I'm doing just now is I'm outsourcing it to Junior, as I said. And every chance he gets, he's asking for a shout out of my phone just to do the mock draft and the league. So I'm looking at where he's gone, where he's gone. He's got a good week. He's a wee bit 49er-centric when it comes to getting Fred Warner on that quite early on. We've got the second and third pick. But he's got a good wee idea and he's got some good players coming out. So, I might outsource it to him when it comes to that. We are going to be doing that in the next week or so, as I said. We'll get the crew to delve into that. Lots and lots of great work out there. I've seen the Beast has been published from Dane Brugler at The Athletic. So have a wee nosy at that and pass off that information as our own next week. But now let's have a wee turn then to Liam's beloved Packers, who are playing their opening game of the season, not in Wisconsin, but they're heading all the way south, far, far south, and across the equator to Brazil, to Sao Paulo, where they will be painting Corinthians Stadium green, which is a surprise because that's not a colour that Corinthians fans are known to like. I think the colour's actually been banned in the stadium.
Yeah, I think unofficially banned, yes. Yep.
Unofficially. That's like, imagine a team being so petted as to take out like their rival straw colour out of the packs, eh, studs. Would that be, I'd be quite ridiculous if somebody was to do that.
No idea what you're talking about there.
So Liam, looking forward to the opening game of the season for the Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles taking place in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Yeah, I think obviously it's, it'd be a spectacle, I suppose. It might be handy for us time-wise on a Friday, was it? We're Friday night, isn't it? So their side, isn't it? So
I've not seen a time yet. That's the thing. I'll have a wee quick look and see.
Anyway, but,
I don't think we've got a time locked in, but it's saying Friday, September 6th, 2024, Packers versus the Eagles. So I'm taking it that's a home game for the Packers.
I think it's an away game for the Packers. I think it counts as. I think it's a home game for the Eagles, as far as I know.
Right.
Because I think it's still, there's some crazy fact, like it's, I'm sure I saw on this Twitter that Matt LaFleur's not had a home kickoff game in his tenure there yet. Like the last time home game was first game of the season at home was like 2018 or 2017 or something like that. I suppose it's always maybe a blessing in disguise, you know, if I think the Packers fans are meant to be quite few in Brazil, apparently, so I've heard. So maybe an invitation to be a bit more kind of neutral crowd or a bit more, you know, equal than being going to Philadelphia for the first game of the season. So in some ways it's kind of, it could be a bit a plus for us, but then again, last international game we had, I was lucky to be there in London, and we messed that one up. So who knows what happened?
It started off so well for you.
I know.
Took a big lead into half time. I remember the pictures of poor Murdo, our friend who's the Giants fan, looking all glum at half time, and we were loving it. I've got to say,
I know.
But then obviously people stunned.
I know it was how it changed, how my walk out of that stadium changed how I thought it was going to be. So,
what you make of the new segment studs that's going to be in Brazil? There's going to be London, Brazil. Is there any German games this season?
Yeah, Germany's got a game as well. So I think London's got three, obviously including the Jags. I think Germany's got one. I think it's Carolina Panthers is the home game for Germany this year. So. Don't know who's on their schedule to see who they're playing and stuff, but I think it's just another step for the NFL kind of taking over your entire week, essentially, as they go through their season. It's you see it obviously later on in the season where they start to kind of branch into Saturdays and as well as Sunday, Monday and Thursday. They're really just take over the weekend. So, I mean, next for the opening kickoff, you're going to have the Chiefs at home on Thursday, you're going to have the Eagles and Sao Paulo, Eagles Packers and Sao Paulo on Friday. You're then going to have Sunday, Monday, to kind of finish it all off. So it's really, it wouldn't surprise me to see I'll maybe move a game or two into Saturday just to kind of, so they've literally got a full opening day weekend, if you like. But I think. Again, I was listening to the Packers GM, and literally said that I think they're only second in Brazil in terms of fan base to the Patriots. So it's I think what Liam said there, you're probably looking at quite a kind of neutral venue compared to being at the Link, where it is obviously Philadelphia fans are known as being quite hostile. To put it mildly, to other teams. So even their own players, that sometimes if you listen to like Kelsey and Lane Johnson in some recent podcasts, they're quite a challenging crowd to please. So I think that'll certainly help the Packers for the game and probably make a, again, you're looking at a team that's going through a change. We know Jason Kelce. How's the tush-push going to look? That kind of stuff. How's their offense going to look after going down quite drastically, as opposed to Jordan Love, who last season was constantly getting better and better, and then obviously went into Dallas, done what he'd done in there. Probably unfortunate not to go to San Francisco and beat them, to be honest. So I think it makes for a good matchup, two young quarterbacks. That'll be an interesting opening to the season.
We at the crew will be looking to, we're exploring some opportunities for us to host a live viewing party for that, probably somewhere in Glasgow, but we're open to suggestions. So if you know any pubs in Glasgow, Edinburgh, around Scotland that'd be interested in hosting something, the crew would love to get involved with that. But we're exploring that just now. If it's something that you'd be interested in, you'd like to come along to in the first weekend of the NFL starting back properly, a great wee Friday night, I think it'd be a fantastic chance for all the NFL lovers to get together and watch that game. I think it'd be terrific. Would you be up for that, Studs?
I'm always up to catch up with fellow NFL fans. So that I was looking on the world clock. So Sapow was 4 hours behind us. So it'll be interesting to see if they go for a 5 o'clock kickoff. Obviously, that's probably the most beneficial for us because that's literally right now, essentially. If they go to 8 o'clock, then you start to kind of creep into the early hours of Saturday morning as well. So I think if we have any sway with any Brazilian listeners, then let's push for a 5 p.m. kickoff.
I was just looking at the international home marketing areas, and it surprised me that the Eagles and Packers don't actually have Brazil as one of their areas. It's the Miami Dolphins. You'd have thought they would be one of the first ones to test the Brazilian market to really go for it there. But I suppose they played in Germany, was it last year, the year before? Last year, wasn't it?
Played the Chiefs, lost to the Chiefs. That was the James Cook, that won the game.
So, but I can't actually see anywhere for the Packers that they have.
No, cornered
the market abroad. Not Eagles as well. Interesting. Looking forward to that. We're still a while to go till we get to the 6th of September, but don't worry, the crew will see you through it until then. Really looking forward to that. And as I said, we're definitely looking forward to putting on a wee viewing party of some description when it comes to that. So, yeah, stay tuned for more details there. Right, let's get into some of the news that we've had in the NFL in the past week then. Anything jump out at you guys then straight away? We've had the news about the Philadelphia Eagles and the Packers and Brazil really confirming that, whetting the appetite for that one. But any other bits of news jump out to you guys then?
I think from our perspectives, obviously, keep it Homer style is really the news about Rashee Rice and the charges kind of coming out on him. So it'll be interesting to see what that means. In terms of jail time, that kind of stuff. So that's probably what I've been kind of keeping an eye out for.
It's a curious one, wasn't it? It seems to be a long time from the actual incident to him being arrested and taken in.
Yeah.
So, I wonder if any of the reasons for that will come to light. You can only surmise just now reasons why he wouldn't want to be going in. We'll not get into that.
Stay out of the legal world.
I thought you were. Well, there's also some more bad news for the Chiefs. Did you see that your super fan, what's the guy dressed in the wolf costume with the
Casey Wolf?
Yeah. So he of course was done for, was it Robin Banks?
Yeah, armed robbery.
Armed robbery, $800,000 they reckon that he got away with. God, you need it to keep up with all the fashion that goes on with the NFL and travelling about to see your beloved team, of course. But £800,000 they reckon he got away with. However, he's been slapped with a $10 million fine that he has to pay to one of the tailors that he assaulted and the mental stress that they put them under when they held up the bank. It looks like he's going to be put away for what, 50 years, I think, that he's looking at just now, which is good. It's a deterrent, hopefully, that not other people would be thinking of doing. But that 10 million fine that he's got against them would be in case that in the future that he writes a book and sells it, so he doesn't get any of the profits from that, or they make a daytime
Netflix
TV
documentary.
Yes, even a reenactment. I think that'd be absolutely brilliant. You could get the director of The Hangover to do that one. I think that would be absolutely superb. So yeah, more bad news for the Chiefs. It's all come crashing down for you guys now. Top of the world one just week.
Stack the deck against us. That's when we're at our best. So we're just trying to secure the three-peat. So we're building the deck against us just so as we can play with that chip on our shoulder. Chiefs.
I forgot about three-peat. That's all going to hear now, isn't it? All season, isn't it?
I'll drop it in as many times as I can until it's either won or it's completely out of reach. It'll be getting dropped in.
Fantastic. A couple of reworked contracts. The Browns have reworked Nick Chubb's contract to keep him for the 2024 season. Was he a free agent then?
No, he was still signed, but I think they just reworked it just to free up some money and reduce his cap.
Yeah. Keep Watson on the books, that's probably what it was.
So he's got a lower base salary of $11.75 million. But he's got the chance to earn back that money via incentives, which you can kind of understand. He has to prove himself now after that horrendous knee injury that we saw last year. His second one, that's both legs have had horrendous injuries.
Had one at the Georgia Bulldogs in college.
Turns your stomach watching the video clips of them, isn't it? It's,
I've still not seen the one against the Steelers. I'm no interested in seeing it. I've never seen it.
I wouldn't watch it.
Doesn't add any value to your life to have seen that. It's just the way it hyperextends. It's just nasty, absolutely nasty. Hopefully it does come back for Brian's sake more than anything else. Chubb is always one of his first picks whenever it comes to our redraft.
Unless he gets sniped off him, like me. I might just do it again just to piss him off this year.
it's a sound investment indeed. Okay, good. Do you think he's going to come back just as strong as he was, or is this going to be a bit too much for him this time, Liam?
I don't know. Obviously, I say he's been such a good player. You kind of want to see him and come back from such a horrific injury. You kind of want to see him do well coming back again. But I suppose he's kind of getting to that age now where all the kind of, you hear the chat about, you know, running backs kind of starting to fall off and things like that, that it's going to be a harder task to come back from. Obviously, serious injury when you're at college, not taking anything away from it, definitely a serious injury, but I suppose you're younger in theory. Your body's younger. You get over it easier, a wee bit easier than you would when you're a bit older. So, hopefully, yes, he'll come back as strong as he was just for the game. But it's going to be, I think, a hard slog.
Yeah, I think so. Another player who thought that their career was over and was talking on the I Can Fly podcast this week was Aaron Rodgers. He's quoted saying, I was really thinking, this is it. You don't come back from this injury, which he didn't seem to show much thoughts of in the early weeks. He was coming back super strong. He was coming back even earlier than expected. But he went on to say, I had this incredible off-season experience in a new city, in a new town, with new teammates, a new organization, an owner for the first time, and really falling back in love with the game that I first fell in love with when I was 5 years old. And it was absolutely beautiful and special and deep and rich and yummy and just incredible. And then one of the most heartbreaking nights of my life when I played four plays, talk about an ego death. Kind of feel for him a wee bit there. I was really looking forward to seeing how Garrett Wilson was going to do with him, how the connection was going to be with the Aaron Rodgers, but I think we're just waiting for take two this season. I'm sure he'll come back he'll be one of the strongest in the league. The guy just knows it all. He's done it so many, many times before. And with weapons like Garrett Wilson, I still think they need to draft maybe a wide receiver that's all... Wilson's the number one. They don't really have a two. It's all like
third and fourth
thing ones.
Yeah.
That's a good shout, yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say, they keep getting, I think, mock draft for Burrows. Brock Burrows, the tight end, apparently, as well, I think. Seen that going about with another weapon, really. So
I thought they signed another wide receiver. I might be wrong, but I can't remember now.
Yeah, you can check that.
I think they need to worry more about protecting Aaron Rodgers, because the line was brutal last year for the Jets.
That's certainly an area that they really do need to focus on. If they can get that right, get that bit of protection for him, then you know he can make a bit of magic in the pocket there. I don't see him being one to be too creative himself, especially after this injury. So,
I'm sure. But yeah, I don't think we'll be moving too much around. But I'm sure the hype will start building again, like it did last off season, as we get closer to the season starting for the Rodgers Jets.
Absolutely. Another quarterback that was in the news this week, we had the Titans head coach Brian Callahan talking about Will Levis. He's learning the new offense and becoming a leader. He says that he's got a lot on his plate just now. What do you make of Levis' little cameo towards the end of the season? Do you think he's in a good spot, in a good position, a good place for him to learn and develop and maybe live up to his potential?
It's going to be interesting. I think obviously they put some wide receivers around them now. Obviously got Hopkins there, now they've got Ridley. So some ways you kind of think they're just investing so much in that, just basically now it's up to him to go and prove it, I suppose. And then if he can't prove it, they'll move on quickly. I think that's kind of, in some ways, I kind of view it as. I don't know. I suppose it's when he played, he had that big, was it his first game he was in, he had a massive game. And then after that, he kind of didn't he did all right. We didn't do, you know, everyone thought it was, going to be kind of going from stride to stride after that first game, but never really happened. So, but I suppose he can't really complain now if he doesn't hit the ground running a bit more with what he's got there. So
it will be useless with your thoughts on Will Levis. I personally thought after the ignominy of having to wait until the second day to get drafted after all the hype around him, I thought I want to take a wee chance at him, and I've picked him up in a couple of the dynasty leagues because I just feel there's going to be a wee bit bite to this guy. I think he's got something to prove. I'm looking forward to seeing how he does this year.
I think he's certainly got an arm talent there. There's no doubt about it. But again, it's the same as what I just said with the Jets. The Titans' offensive line was atrocious last year. So although he had that first breakout game, and you even seen that the Titans are normally synonymous with running the football, they're going to pound it right down your throat. Derrick Henry didn't look great last year. Tajay Spears was okay, but they weren't able to get the ball on the run and get those yards, and that was probably down to the fact that their O-line was either so beat up or just really, really poor, which is why I think a lot of people are seeing the Notre Dame we're seeing a lot of mock drafts with him falling to the Titans at number 7 or 8. So I think they're going to have to beef up that line again. If they protect him, he's got good weapons out there in Hopkins and Ridley, as well as Pollard and Spears coming out the backfield as well. So it's all about keep Levis on his feet, and then they can go for there, see what they've got with him.
We're talking about Levis there, and you talked about the weapons that he's got. Le'Jarius Sneed, of course, coming from the Chiefs, has just joined, and he says that he's excited to learn from Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins, as he's never had two elite wide receivers like them to work with. Maybe a wee dig at the Chiefs with that one there. But I suppose he's got a point. It's always been elevated, the wide receivers and Kansas.
I don't think he's seen anything out of order as such, because you look at who he's been with the Chiefs. It's only been with the Chiefs 3 or 4 years, and who's his wide receivers been? They've been Juju Smith-Schuster, MVS, obviously Rashi Rice come in this year, looks like he could certainly step up and be a talent. But he's not had, I mean, if you're comparing Hopkins to Smith-Schuster or MVS, it's a different animal. Even what we've seen of Calvin Ridley, probably similarities, I would say, between Calvin Ridley and MVS, maybe. But certainly what we've seen when Ridley broke out with the Falcons suggests that there's more in there than what we've seen for MVS. Unless it's playoff MVS, of course, who was just, again, a different animal altogether. He switched places with his twin brother, I think, at that point.
Listen, the way you turn that round every time, it's something to be admired, my friend. Okay, who else did we have? We had other bits of news. Massive deal for Josh Allen fans. He's signed a new 5-year deal. It's the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Jags.
The defense rusher,
Josh Allen.
Yeah. 5-year deal.
The one that sacked million. Josh Allen 4 times.
Remember that game? That was good. Clearly, the Jags have developed then, but he's getting paid. 2-time Pro Bowl edge rusher, is staying in Duval County for the long haul. So they seem to be building there, which is pretty cool to see for the Jags, because I think that there seems to be a lot of good things happening there. They've revealed the plans for the new stadium and the surrounding areas around that. They've got Lawrence as their quarterback. They seem to be building towards something good, which maybe take the next maybe 3-4 years for it to come together fully. When you're getting quality players like Josh Allen deciding to stay on and sign on for the team, then it looks as if it's building. It seems to be progressing in the right way now. What do you think, Liam?
No, yeah, I totally agree. I think it's kind of a smart move, I think, to get him re-signed. And kind of, as you just kind of alluded to, I suppose, coming from where they were with the Urban Meyer experience a couple of years ago and how all that went, and how it was a bit of a laughing stock at the end, I suppose, if slightly steadied the ship, made some nice moves. I suppose, talking about Ridley on the Titans, I'm surprised he got away in some ways. But I suppose allows him to re-sign Allen, I suppose, maybe. Because maybe that's what was our plan all along, put the money there and keep him going. And yeah, there's always been, more recently when, you know, Doug Peterson coming in, they've been kind of an interesting team to always kind of watch. And I suppose with Lawrence being that, the talent he was meant to be coming in when he got drafted, they've been always wanting to kind of keep an eye and see where they're going a wee bit. So yeah, I think it was a kind of sensible move for the offseason, I think, to pay the man. So yeah.
Calvin Ridley, of course, being replaced by Gabe Davis from the Bills, our favourite Lord of the Rings looking wide receiver. But I think that's a bit of a step down for the Jags there. Yeah. Be interesting to see how they do strengthen their wide receiver core in the off-season.
I think it's always interesting to see how front offices work at this time of the year as well, because again, Josh Allen's probably one that kind of really brings it to the forefront, the fact that they could have signed him last year and probably got him for a lot less than what they did this year, because he was coming off his most productive season this year. So he really had all the leverage. He had like 17.5 sacks over the season. So whereas the year before, he wasn't as productive. He was good. But what are you paying, $150 million for him last year? I probably doubt that. Obviously, Chris Jones getting dealt this year and things like that are going to have moved the needle a little bit for the D-line guys. But as you look at the Eagles, for example, and they signed Cam Jurgens up early, who they've obviously kind of brought in to replace Jason Kelce through the draft. They signed Dickerson. They got him done early rather than waiting until next year and getting the deal done. Jordan Mailata, again, they're getting their guys done, tied up quite early, whereas the Jags, for me, have probably left this one maybe a year too late to sign Josh Allen. So just interested to see how different front offices work. And again, time will tell whether it favours them or not. Because they've obviously got the bill for Lawrence coming up and whether they pay him.
Certainly looking forward to seeing how the Jags do there. They'll be one of the teams in the international games, of course. Their home games are always at Wembley, is it? And whenever they come over to London. So be great to get them back over later on in the year. Try to see any other big bits of news that we're missing. Nothing really that's jumping out at us just now. If you think that we've missed anything at all, get in touch with the crew. As I said, next week we're going to have a wee bit more of a focus on the draft, what will be happening the following weekend, isn't it?
Yep.
So we will be taking a bit of more of a delve into the draft. What we want to hear from you guys, though, is your team. What is your team's wants and your team's needs? So maybe what you think is the first thing that has to be addressed for your team. Get in touch with the crew. We'd love to hear from you. You can get us on X, at Gridiron Crew, Instagram. You can send an email to us at host@gridironcrew.com. We'd love to hear from you for your areas of expertise, your own team. We'd love to hear what you've got to say about that. We will be getting the thoughts of the crew involved in this one for next week, so we'll try and get all the guys to have a wee look at their own team and what they think is the needs when it comes to the draft, what has to be addressed and what they would kind of like to see fixed, make their team a wee bit more sexy for the 2024 season. Guys, a wee bit of a shorter one this week. Still good half hour chat with you. Thoroughly enjoyed that. Studs, thanks very much for joining us again, mate.
No, always a pleasure, man. Happy to be here.
And Liam, great to have you back on the crew, mate. Look forward to speaking to you a bit more in the coming weeks.
No, cheers, always good to get on, and looking forward to draft night's sneaking up on us now, so looking forward to it.
Oh, that is the 25th of the first one. That's my birthday as well, so I might be able to get to stay up a wee bit later for that one, so looking forward to that. hint yes, I've been Keith McGinty. This has been the News Crew for Thursday, the 11th of April. We look forward to speaking to you again next week, so stay tuned to the crew.
Things happen and maybe project those things happening on a football field and not to me.